Spend a little time in that love now, just relaxing in your seat as we go into prayer and meditation. Love can build a bridge. I have a poem today that will begin my meditation that really fits what is going on in the world and perhaps in our hearts. Just listen to these words of this poem titled, "We Americans Love Liberty." Let's open our hearts and embrace the world. Every man and woman, every boy and girl. Grateful for all the colors God made our skin. All of us human, all of us kin. Be the very symbol of who we are, welcoming all others from near and far. Be the very nation our forefathers created, one with great pride, our families celebrated. With a deep breath in this moment, God, we center ourselves in this moment and we go deeper to celebrate life, to celebrate our ability to connect with you. Our ability to connect with our divine spirit within, to connect with the entire world, and to connect with each other, to connect in what matters most, which is love. As we continue to breathe in this gift and go deeper, we realize that no matter how or what is going on in the world or why, we can truly make a difference. Each one of us can build a bridge. We choose that today. We choose to let go of any unrest that may be surrounding or walling off our hearts. We choose to be in joy. We choose to be part of the solution. And it begins with love. It begins with expanding our hearts even bigger than they were before, to reach others, to reach out into the world, and just wrap your love around this world. Use the power of imagination to see what the world can become, to see what our city can become, to see what peace can exist inside your own family. With the truth of our being, we acknowledge this light force, this divine, God-given spark of light within each of us. Let it heal. Let it create healing today. That power exists. And we are so grateful. Take that love, take that spirit of imagination of what the world can be into this sacred time. this time of truth. In this time of truth, we begin to feel gratitude for this life, for those that we love, for the healing that is possible and happening in this moment. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you, sidekick. The woman behind the mirror or curtain, don't pay attention. Thank you. I was looking for it. Well, one thing we don't have to look far for is to see God in each other, just like your song said. Thank you, Gary Floyd, for being here today. And your sidekick from Friday night, Connie Keene. Thank you for those beautiful meditations that we had. Our peace meditation that we had Friday night at Unity was phenomenal. What a perfect day to wear a big yellow pin on your shirt that says, ask me about Unity, as Cheryl Overman is wearing today. I got mesmerized by it. She said, yeah, you can model that. She's going with me this afternoon to the Holocaust Museum where I'll be speaking, and we'll see how many people ask you about that. And what better day to have as a title slide this? This is a picture of the Tile of Mosaic that was done by Norman Rockwell with the words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule, spoken by Jesus. At the entrance of Thanksgiving Square, is the Tile of Mosaic there, showing truly what unity is all about. All races, religions, creeds in one place, in harmony, together. So if you haven't been to Thanksgiving Square, I recommend that you go, because it is a place that exemplifies no matter what faith you are, no matter what color you are, no matter where you come from, you are welcome there. And it's a beacon, it's a flagship of peace. And not only can you go down there and see it, but today you can actually talk to the president of Thanksgiving Square, Chris Slaughter. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for being here today. I know you're a little nervous I might make you speak, but I'm not going to, because he's just got back from Spain. And nine-day trip there, maybe jet lagging a bit, he told me. But thank you for being here. Chris is also a part of the Faith Forward Council, the Faith Forward Dallas group, the multi-faith council, where we are coming together to talk about the ideas that I'm talking about today. And I'm planning on having those guys come in for some dialogue on a Friday night so we can talk to them, and maybe you can gain more perspective, more understanding of how you can be a part of the peace process. And what better time to read a poem by this guy right here? Stephen Dunn, our very own Stephen Dunn. Doesn't he look pastorly here? It looks like Pastor Steve right there, standing in front of our 12 powers fused glass at one of his poetry readings. And I didn't get to read the whole poem, but you can get that from Stephen. But just look at these words. Every man and woman, grateful for all the colors. All of us human, all of us kin. And then it goes on about us being the very symbol, and about this being the symbol of who we are, that we welcome all others from near and far. Be that very nation. It's about taking down the walls around our hearts. It's about taking down anything that is keeping us from connecting with others. So I got to tell you straight up, this is not a political speech. I know a whole lot's going on about there, about this or about that, but I do care about us going below the surface today and challenging ourselves to see what we can do to be a part of the solution. We preach this at Unity. I don't really say I'm a preacher, I'll say I'm a teacher, but we teach this at Unity about coming together and all being a part of the great whole that we are. And that's true no matter if you are whoever you are, whether you're male, female, if your skin is dark as night or lily white or anything in between, if you are rich, if you are poor, if you are Muslim, if you are Christian, if you are none of that or something in between, you are still made of the same God stuff, that same divine intelligence that goes into everybody, whether you're a preacher or a politician. Remember Mel Tillis, that country singer, he stuttered. Whether you're a cowboy or a Patriot fan, Packer fan, no matter what you are, you're still made, believe it or not, from the same stuff. And Jesus prayed about this. Jesus prayed about the unity of all life. And that's what the mystics have realized, all the mystics have realized through the ages. That, yes, in God we live and we move and we have our being. And good, that is universal, the universal good that God is, the revelation only happens if we embrace that. If we embrace that in our brotherhood and our sisterhood of everyone, of who we are. That's why Jesus said, love everyone. And I love the graphic of him looking back in the boat as disciples and saying, what part of that did you not understand? So we have to all make that idea if we are going to come to this place, no matter where we are, yes? Because this is something we talk about at Unity every week. And my interest in this is getting rid of this, whatever is walling us up, whatever emotions that we may be having. I know we have our band of peacemakers out there, our little band of peacemakers, they're out around the city today at this very moment, standing for peace and standing for love. And we talk about it, so I thought that I would read you a little story by Father Joe here. This Father Joe was being honored at his 30-year anniversary at his parish. And by the way, you know, we talk about loving people no matter what they drive, no matter how rich they are, no matter what prosperity. There's nothing wrong with prosperity unless it separates you from who you really are. So in society, society talks about how important it is, and sometimes we spend so much time pursuing it that it walls us off from connecting with who we really are. And I was about to say, no matter what furniture you have in your house, because I looked, and here we have a new piece of furniture on our stage here, courtesy of our friends from Church of God. And I don't know how much I'll stand behind this, because I don't like much separation between me and you, but I think you could park a car in here, actually. Little red Corvette right there, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff going on up under here. Man. Okay, so, Father Joe. Back to Father Joe, okay. It does a little bit. I mean, this is a nice piece of craftsmanship, we have to admit, absolutely. Nice piece of large wood on our stage, so. Moving right along. Father Joe was being honored at a dinner of his 30-year anniversary of his arrival to that parish. A leading politician who was a member of the congregation was chosen to make a congratulatory speech, but he was delayed in traffic. So Father Joe decided to get started, and he said that, you will understand, he said, the seal of the confessional can never be broken. However, I got my first impressions of this parish from the first confession I heard. It wasn't pretty. In fact, I thought I'd been assigned to a very terrible place. The very first person to enter my confessional told me how he had stolen a television set, had embezzled money from the place of his business, and had had an affair with his boss's wife. And that was just in the first week. I was appalled.
But as the days went on, I learned that not everyone in the community was like that, and I had indeed come to a fine parish full of honest and loving people. Just as Father Joe finished his talk, the politician arrived full of apologies at being late. He immediately began to make his speech, and he started by saying, "I'll never forget the first day Father Joe here arrived in the parish. In fact, I had the honor of being the first one to go to him in confession." So, looking down below the surface today, I have no confessions like that, but I think that it's something that we talk about at Unity, these things of not judging, but I always wonder, in our heart of hearts, are there any prejudices there? If we were to be serious and take a look at our true selves. And to take a look at our true selves, it's like this picture. I need to work on connecting myself with myself. That's a challenge. It's a challenge this week, especially because, have you seen any angst out there? Would you like to have a little less angst around everything? And there's even people that, some folks are having angst about their friend having angst about someone. They're upset that, how could you be upset? This is the right thing to do. So there's this division idea, and it closes the mind down. I like how Franz Kafka says that the mind is like a parachute. It only works if it's open. Yeah, it only works if it is to open. So let's examine what we can do to open our minds even more. And that's my deepest desire, is for us to search our hearts for that. I have another story about judgment, because it's easy to look out at what's going on in the world. It's easy to look at the past of some things that have happened and say, that is so wrong. I can't believe that nation did that. Or that party did that, or that person did that. It's easy to look at the other people, but what we have the power to do is look at ourselves. This is a poem, and he says, "The alarm woke up. I longed to remain. It was Sunday again, that same old refrain. But the guilt I'd have felt for the rest of the day would be too much, so I would go forth to pray. So I showered and shaved, and I put on my best, promising not to stay up late, thus missing my rest. Rushing through breakfast, I felt rather surly, but I got there in time, maybe a few moments early. While bowing my head in humble prayer, I glanced at my feet and noticed right there, a foot on my left was touching my shoe. It was not welcomed. But what could I do? With plenty of room, this was a bit much. My mind pondered, why do our souls have to touch? It bothered me so. He was glued to my side. He didn't much care. Where was his pride? As the prayer started, I stared at his feet, and I wondered what sights my eyes would meet. His shoes were all worn and dusty and scratched. The places too worn had already been patched. As the prayer ended, the man said, Amen. I tried to ignore him, but once again, I stared at his shoes and the rest of his clothes and felt within me the aversion arose. Aren't we supposed to be looking our best when entering this place with all the rest? How dare he be thoughtless in his attire? He should be holy and thus to aspire. When the prayer ended, the songs had begun. The shoeman was loud and proudly he sung. His voice lifted the rafters, hand raised up on high. The Lord surely heard his voice from the sky. The offering was passed. What I threw in was steep. The shoe man reached in his pocket real deep. I glanced to my side to see what he had put in. I heard a soft clink, as when silver hits tin. The sermon was long, and it bored me to tears. I'm not supposed to laugh at that part. We're not bored very often at Unity, that's for sure. The sermon was long and it bored me to tears. It brought back memories from my guilts and my fears. I glanced at the shoe man whose eyes were all wet. Tears fell from his eyes in the place where we sat. At the end of the service, as is custom here, we'd all greet our visitors and show them good cheer. I must say I was reluctant in meeting this man, but after the closing, I held out my hand. He said, "My name is Charlie. Glad to meet you, my friend." There were tears in his eyes, but he had a wide grin. "Let me explain with a sigh. I've been coming for months, and you are the first to say hi." My heart sunk, but I held back a tear. He continued and whispered, "Sorry for sitting so near. I know when I get here, I must look a sight, but I thought if I touched you, our souls might unite." I was silent for a moment, knowing that anything I said must come from my heart and not from my head. "Oh, you've touched me," I said, "and taught me in part that the best of a man is what's in his heart." Yeah. Ralph Waldo Trine wrote in The Tune, a book called In Tune with the Infinite, the source of his morning's inspirational readings would go something like this. I love the opening words of this passage. It says, "The life that goes out in love to all is the life that is full and rich and continually expanding in beauty and in power." So the love that goes out to all is full and rich. Not my love goes out to the people that believe like I do about a political situation or a religious situation. When we do that, we immediately in that moment create this little angst around us, which is far from heaven on earth. And there's a song about heaven on earth that says that you don't just have to wait to experience it. And Gary, you know, since you had the magic marker today, you coming so I would be here, I want you to come up and do a little bit of that song so people can resonate with these words.
Kingdom of God is at hand, within each woman and man. Believe, receive the truth that is setting you free. The miracle in you released, receive. Realize, open your eyes, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Not just a place to get into someday, far away. Be bold. It's something that you can tap into, a strength that'll help you to get through each day by faith. Oh, behold.
Behold, God is within you.
behold, be bold.
Somebody told me they wrote bold on their white stone ceremony, that that's what they wanted more of this year, was to be bold. It takes quite a number of people to be bold.
Leviticus talks about the Lord said to Moses, treat your neighbor as yourself, and when a foreigner resides in your own land, treat him like a neighbor.
And so this picture here, you might recognize where this is. Anybody want to take a guess? It's in Berlin. Those are some bold people there, standing for freedom. Really what they wanted in that situation was just to be reunited with their countrymen, to be reunited, and not to have people do that to them.
And some of them got aggressive with it. This is, of course, the iconic picture with the sledgehammer of creating daylight. And I just remember the images of people reaching through their hands to the light to get to the other side. And others joined in. And there's a quote that I get now from an intermediary. I get a quote from the universe each week. And this one I had this week says, very simply, James, the more that you accept responsibility, the more power you have. Doesn't that rock? Love the universe. Doesn't that rock? What rocks do you maybe need to, maybe not take a sledgehammer to, but take more of a little bit of a chisel to chisel away so that you can love more, so that you can experience more, so you can be more. Don't cling to misery. Like, this is the teacher of teacher right here, Emma Curtis Hopkins. And she is the teacher of teacher, like Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity and many others. And I like this, where she says, the heart may still cling to its misery while it is observing happiness. The secret of freedom is in knowing what ideas or prejudices and should be dropped out of the mind. And that makes, you have to have awareness to be able to do that. You have to have awareness to realize, is there misery possibly clinging to your mind even as you watch people be happy? What is freedom to you? What does freedom represent? This is something we are going to be starting this Friday. Friday Night Unity is our alternative ministry experience. And we're going to show the 12 Powers movie this week because it really gets into these powers that we have to have more freedom and more love in our life. And I'm going to show you a minute trailer from this movie right now.
What happens when millions of people focus together on a situation of world crisis? Call it meditation or prayer, but regardless of what you call it, it has the power to change everything. On February 1st, 2016, people from around the world focused their prayers on a small group of peacemakers, Jewish, Muslim, and Christian, sitting on a hill overlooking a village held by ISIS. They had one goal in mind: to send a massive blessing into the war zone, a new kind of extremism based on the laws of love. And at the same time, the small band of peacemakers carried with them a book, The 12 Powers by Charles Fillmore. Somehow, the two events were connected, though it was still a mystery how. This is the movie about the merging of those two powerful forces.
I love that everybody's hand on the peace pillar there at the end, and that book is getting so much worldwide knowledge. We are going to be also, not only the movie, but it's one of our classes we'll be teaching with the SCE program starting March 20th. Get one of these brochures on your way out, and you can actually, we're starting pre-registration or early registration for it. It's one of the most powerful things we can do as a spiritual campus to raise awareness and for each of us to go deeper and to bond with each other. The SCE classes are incredible. And you know, Unity's about education and our future leaders. Here's about a 15-second video of one of our future Unity leaders that's a friend of mine.
As a 20-year-old who is going to be a future Unity minister, I think that the 12 powers are as relevant today as they always have been when Charles wrote them.
Yeah, our future leaders. One of her teachers and congregants is actually coming here all the way from Albuquerque to take classes that week at our SCE program. So it's going to be a powerful week, so try to join us. We have a powerful day every day at Unity, and I'm going to show you a little behind-the-scenes look. This is our staff kitchen, and this is Eric's handwriting, and you can kind of tell there's a cowboy there on the right still, but this is great. We were having a conversation and asking such easy questions like, why am I alive? And we then circled back to the answer, like I talked about last week, putting God first. And that God is not a person, but principle. God is the underlying, unchangeable truth. When people know God, this is the writing of the day here, when men know God. But when people know God and recognize God as a spirit and in truth, which is out of John, they recognize God as great goodness, omnipresent, omnipotent. And that's from the revealing word by Charles Fillmore. So it was great that we sit around and we have these conversations to get back to what truth is. And the last quote I want to show you follows that up. This is, again, Ralph Waldo Trine. And he says, when we fully realize the great fact of the oneness of all life, that all are partakers from this one infinite source, and so the same life is the life in each individual, then prejudices go and hatred cease. Love grows and reigns supreme. And that's his book, In Tune with the Infinite. We get a chance to practice this each day. Monday, when I came into the office, it was a busy day. Every day here is busy. And Laura Sutherland had the presence of mind to stop me in the reception area upstairs. And she said, I want to get your opinion. I want to talk to you about what we should do about this. There was a lady who called who wanted to get married. But she wanted to get married to her partner who was in the hospital and about to pass away. The doctor said it would be several hours, if that. And she said, we need to send someone to marry this couple because it's her dying wish. So I started thinking in my mind about my to-do list. And I started thinking about who I might have go do that. Then I talked to her friend on the phone about the situation to learn more. And what she said was that their pastor at the hospital would not marry them. That if he was to marry them, he would lose his ordination, and there was discussion about hell and those kind of things. Yeah. Which, let me tell you, you don't need to hear about that when you're on your deathbed. You don't need to hear about who your true love you cannot marry because of this person's reasons. And because she was already hearing it from some of her family. So when I heard that, I said, I have to go. I am going to go and do this. All that to-do list, all of those things, all of a sudden didn't matter anymore. Because what did matter is that to be a part of what I'm talking about today, to be a part of the solution, anything else would be hypocritical. So this is a picture I got. Thank you. This is a moment I will never forget. Walking into the hospital, well, first driving down there, and I got permission to use these photos, but driving down to the hospital, in my head, I was thinking, you know, what am I going to talk about? What type of vows am I going to say? I mean, they'll be different. So I get there, not sure what I'm going to see. I walk in through the door, and there was such joy on everybody's faces, even the staff, people, there are like 15 staff people crammed in to this room, and everybody just had a big smile on their face, and they were just so full of joy and love. And in the halfway through doing the vows, I just asked them if they wanted to say anything, if they would like to speak to each other. And they were a little bit surprised. I just stopped and I asked them. And I was a little surprised I said it. But what they said to each other was just so beautiful. I mean, the love that exists is what is below the surface of all of this other stuff that is being said to people in this world these days. This is what matters, the underlying love principle. And when we look out there at people that are full of angst and they're acting out in anger, yes, they are requesting love. That's what they're wanting. So as I close today, I just want to, here's a few more of Stephen's poem, just a few more lines of his poem, and I'm sure he'll share the whole thing with you. But yes, we are the people, and always have been, no matter the hatred. Some have created within. So pray for our country to open its eyes, show our inner strength, which we cannot deny. Think for just one moment what Jesus would do, then stand up and be proud and do what we must do. Shalom and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
What a blessing. What a blessing you are, James, to us. How this has changed our congregation, how it's changed the way we do service, the way we do church. You bless us every single Sunday. God bless you. This is our opportunity to share. If you prepare your offering, your tithes, we want to share of ourselves as it goes forward into the entire universe. We